ser ético, isto é uma crença.
É uma religião muito grande.
A visão é um culto. É coragem, que é liberdade, que é crer, que é vontade, que é o caráter das pessoas.
Calma de quem é grande, maior que os maiores.
É uma paixão com outra explicação.
Eu não consigo explicar o que é ser do Benfica. Eu sinto o que é ser do Benfica.
Mas de facto uma paixão. E as paixões são assim, vivem-se assim intensamente.
Aqui não há nenhuma razão. É paixão, paixão, paixão.
Ser Benfica.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast, episode number 324. Chris, 1 point away from the title. A few months ago, we were 7 down, and now we're 1 point away. How are you feeling?
It's been a magnificent reviravolta by Benfica and Bruno Lage and the boys. I mean, we totally could have not asked for better, especially when we're looking up 7 points behind at that time from Futebol Clube do Porto. And now here we are, one game away, hopefully another 3 points, but at the bare minimum, God forbid you do slip up, you need a draw, and you walk away with number 37, with a tremendous comeback, tremendous composure by this team, tremendous attitude by this team to keep up the fight and never give up, even when things got real bleak. And right now, here we are. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, one goddamn game away from picking up number 37.
That's right. The voice you're listening to, you were just listening to, is Cristiano Oliveira. I'm Alfredo Fumaças.
A heartbroken Cristiano Oliveira.
Heartbroken. And we won't get into that, but maybe Cristiano will explain a little bit later.
The Knicks. That's all I got to say. Anybody that knows basketball knows what the hell I'm talking about. The Knicks.
On the other side of the border, up north, is Dave de Oliveira. We missed you, Dave. How you been?
I'm doing good. Great to be back on here tonight. Missed you guys last week, but always a good show. Listen to it. And like you said, we're on the eve almost of being crowned the champions for this 37th time. So
we're on the precipice.
The precipice, yes. So
on the brink.
On the brink. We see the light, and it's coming there. We see the light.
Yes, we do. So, that light has guided us this season.
That light almost derailed our season.
Yeah, we almost got blinded by the light at one point.
There's many, many things. And it's so prophetic. It's so prophetic. Is that such a word? It's prophetic.
If you just went along with it, people would have thought it meant something, but now you gave it away.
And it's kind of like, you know, and look, I know that we're kind of getting sidetracked here as we start the podcast, but the light has been a current theme of this season for Benfica, right? So first we had the light with Luis Filipe Vieira. Now we've had this controversy with the lights in the stadium. Now we're seeing there's the light at the end of the tunnel, and we're one step from being crowned champions after a wondrous turnaround, as Cristiano mentioned. The light has to be one of the themes of the season. If you look back at the season, you look at, well, what are some of your themes? I think that the light has to be one for sure.
The only light I want to talk about is the light at the end of the tunnel. You don't need to mention any other light. Let's worry about that light that we can see right now. It's so close, getting so close to us right now. And I'm ecstatic, and I couldn't have been any happier right this moment, to be brutally honest with you. I mean, this is an unbelievable feeling. We have to capitalize now. I mean, let's not mandar os foguetes ao ar antes da festa. So let's just make sure we do what we have to do on Saturday. But before that, we have to talk about this weekend's game in Vila do Conde.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we have a kind of just a couple topics for you. We'll look back at the game in Vila do Conde, and we'll look ahead to the last game of the season against Santa Clara at Estádio Luz this Saturday. There's not much, right? We're kind of reduced to this. And I mean, if you're a Benfiquista, this is something that you've been looking for most of the season. So here we are on the brink. I'm sure that there's a lot of nerves and a lot of anxiety as far as seeing this thing through. And for sure, I think that if you're a Benfiquista, you want to see it through. But let's start with this Rio Ave game. So this is a game that that we anticipated some difficulties. Porto had played Riwav just 3 weeks ago. After being on top for 2-0, they let Riwav back in the game. And this is just the typical Riwav that we also saw against Benfica. So as far as the starting 11, nothing new here. The same starting 11 that we have been seeing. I'm not even going to go through the starting 11. But the game started quite nice for us. After a cross from André Almeida, a bad clearance by or actually hit somebody, and I don't know, it hit somebody, rebounded to Rafa. Rafa was right on top of the goalie and just pushed it in. So talking about the nerves that the team has felt, and Dave, I'm sure you had the opportunity to see the pictures of the bus arriving in Gaia before the day before the game, then arriving at the stadium. And this is something that, and we have said here this every week, that the players can't be indifferent to these manifestations of support by the fans. And for some players, the young players have never seen this. But now you go into a game, and there's nothing like getting that early goal to get those nerves off your back.
Yeah, of course, especially what we've seen in weeks past, when we don't get the early goal right away and the pressure starts to mount. But yeah, a real blunder goal there. A goal is a goal. We'll take it for sure. 3 minutes in by Rafa. Yeah, great to see all the Benfica fans up at the game there. I know that people say, oh, up north, it's only Porto. But this weekend, if that goes to show you anything, it's that we're well alive up north. And we might take Porto for a run up their money up there. But yeah, great to see Rafa get on the score sheet again. He picks up his 20th of the season, 16th goal in the Liga NOS. And prior to this season, Rafa had only a combined 5 goals for Benfica. And now this year, he's already got 20. So what a turnaround for this guy.
Yeah, Rafa has been on an absolute tear all this season. Both him and Seferovic and André Almeida, they're having absolute career years this season. But the biggest thing, and I guess that you could take from this game, well, if you're an ante, that you could take to this game is stained, I guess, if you could say stained. By some refereeing controversy, right? So we're very quick here. If you listen to the show, we're very quick to say to call a spade, as Cristiano likes to mention. So I guess I'll just start that the second goal of Benfica, yes, it's preceded by a foul. That foul, by the way, is outside the box. So if you're not a referee, if you don't know the laws of the game, a foul is called when the foul originated, and that foul originates outside the box. Obviously, it carries into the box. The referee felt that there was no foul there. He went to the VAR. Benfica comes to the other end. There's a ball put through by Seferovic to Pizzi. Pizzi's onside. Pizzi doesn't touch the ball. The goalie saves the ball. It rebounds to João Félix, who was on offside at the time that the ball was played for Pizzi, and João Félix puts it away. So, and that's how the half finished. But Cristiano, talking about this controversy, I don't know if you could say that referees err on purpose. Certainly, there's a lot of mistakes. Some teams get benefited more than others, but this is we could call a spade. This was a mistake. This goal shouldn't have been given.
Yeah, and the worst part about it is, as we've stated here on the podcast many times, a mistake today doesn't equal a mistake from 4 or 5 years ago. A mistake today has the ability to be rectified with the VAR, and somehow even the VAR doesn't see the mistake. They don't rectify it. It makes it look really bad for the Portuguese league and for Benfica. As a Benfiquista, I don't want to see Benfica winning in this manner. I want Benfica to win, you know, clean and fair. And, you know, I don't like these controversies involved with refereeing in Portugal, because we all know it's a joke what's going on in Portuguese football. And so I try to stay, you know, I want Benfica to stay as far away from that controversy as possible. But to you know, this weekend, there's nothing Benfica could do. I mean, at the end of the day, that's a refereeing decision. That's a VAR decision. And it's despicable what's going on, because it's one thing for a referee to get it wrong, because obviously they don't have eyes all over the place. But how does the VAR miss it? I mean, it makes it look like it's deliberate.
Yeah.
And it's not pretty at all for Portuguese football.
Well, the biggest thing is that I'm sure that when these guys sit in front of their bosses, I'm talking about the referees, there has to be an explanation for the logic of the call, right? So, like you said, Hugo Miguel didn't get the same eyes as the VAR says, but there has to be an explanation. So the VAR said, okay, well, there's no foul here that we felt was enough contact for a foul. Then come to the other side and there's no offside. So I mean, Benfica's really how does Benfica doesn't really play a part in this, because Benfica kind of left themselves at the mercy of the VAR, and it's not really Benfica's fault that the VAR got it wrong.
Well, I mean, look, again, I don't really want to get into this, bro, but it's like you could say Benfica's part, and it is the influence that Benfica has on referees, right? And that's where it legitimizes that argument from the haters, because when you say that is as clear as day, and even the VAR decides not to look at it, decides not to call a spade a spade, it leaves a lot of doors open. It leaves a lot of questioning to, you know what I mean? And so I think it's just a bad part by everyone involved. I think, look, I'm with you. Benfica really can't comment on this, right? Benfica's not going to come out and try to defend or whatever. I think Benfica should just go ahead and worry about prepping and setting up for the next game and winning the game at home and clinching the Campeonato. But the people in the league, the people in the refereeing association, those people need to have an answer. I mean, I think that the VAR conversation should be made public. I think that the referees should have to answer questions as to why they called a certain foul a foul, as to why they didn't call another foul a foul. And look, credit to whomever, and I know Portistas and the haters. And again, that's not to say if Benfica doesn't score that goal and they call it an offside like they should have, that Benfica still doesn't wind up winning the game, ladies and gentlemen, okay? That's not what we're saying. But to their credit, they suspended the referee and they suspended the VAR referee, and because they admitted that there was fault there. Now, as a Benfiquista, I don't like that, because it makes it sound like we were done a favor.
Yep.
You know, so it's just an ugly situation that's going on in Portugal. But again, let's not get it messed up. Anyone that's trying to act as if Benfica was not going to win that game, they're going to lose that game if they didn't score that second goal, That's BS. We never know what the hell happens. Maybe they score more, maybe they don't, but we don't know.
Let's not forget also that the referees that were that officiated the semifinal of the Taça da Liga were guys that were also suspended after that game. So regardless how you want to approach this, if you guys follow Rui Santos, I don't know how many of you follow Rui Santos with Tempo Extra, whatever it is, he has this table that he puts up every week. That basically is the truth table or Liga Real, as they call it, in which he basically takes points away for bad referee calls that influence the game. And the way he has it as of today, actually Tuesday, as we record this, Benfica with 82 points, Porto with 78, Sporting with 70. So that's how bad referee calls have influenced this league and what he calls the Liga Real. Of course, we know that it's 84, 82 for Sporting. I mean, for Benfica and Porto, but he has 82 to 78. So regardless, take that how you wanted to take it. But I find it tremendously hypocritical of a team, and especially Pinto Costa, who got a cover this week on the newspaper, a guy to be talking about morals and morality and truth, a guy that was convicted of corruption in which he accepted the punishment, and to come out in public and state that Benfica influences the results. I mean, very hypocritical.
I guess you can say that if there was some type of influence by Benfica, there was some type of corruption or cheating involved by Benfica, he would know, because he's an expert at these things. So I guess he was the right person to have on.
Yeah.
But it could be. I think it's more of a problem with the big three if we're going to point fingers at Benfica or point fingers at Porto. I think a combined big three, they'll probably get the benefit of the call 99% of the time when they're playing these smaller teams. So it's more of a big three issue rather than just a single team, to be honest.
I think, you know, and I tend to agree with that. I do think that the bigger teams get more of the benefit of the doubt than the big teams get, and usually probably get a little bit more favorable calls than a smaller team.
He just doesn't get as much coverage as when it happens to Benfica.
But well, Sporting, that's true.
Sporting's on 14 penalties this year. they are. They're on 14, but nobody says a peep. I mean, they're three away from tying the all-time records, which was the Mario Jardelias in 2001 when they won the Campeonato with 17 penalties that year. They're at 14 this year. Porto is the team in Portuguese football with the most fouls committed this past season without a zero yellow card. I mean,
No red card.
That's what I meant to say. But yet nobody talks about those statistics. Anything that favors Benfica or portrays or could be deemed as favoring Benfica, it's world news because the Dragartos and the haters, everybody's going to come out and point at it and single it out. But when Porto is scoring offside goals and getting points and when they should never get points, nobody ever talks about it. Because right now, the machine, the PR machine is constructed as such in Portugal that is just directing negative and dirty and just all the negative news that you could possibly come away with or make up, sending it towards Benfica. And it's just, and again, I'm not defending Benfica because I think you and I just both sat at him. We said that that shouldn't have been a goal. That, you know,
right?
I have no problem calling a spade, but it just, everything right now in Portugal is shifted or directed at Benfica to just make, to discredit everything they've done all season, to discredit the fact that they were 7 points behind, to discredit the fact that they played their direct rival and beat them twice. You understand? They were 7 points. Benfica beat them twice. So Porto has no one to blame but themselves.
Yeah, went to Alvalade and spanked Sporting. And look, I think...
I mean, you look at the top four or five teams. Benfica beat every single one of them. They did what they had to do. Yes, they dropped points against Belenenses twice. You know, 5 out of 6 points against Brunets, which is, you know, something that shouldn't be forgivable. But at the same time, Benfica won the games when they needed to win them. And to be fair, with the exception of this game, I don't recall another game that Benfica was handed a favor or handed a call that really changed the game. I mean, you never want to see it go that way. But at the same time, I mean, stop your crying. Stop your crying. This, I mean, you're all history. The last 40 years, all you've done is gotten favored and corrupted and beaten on people and gotten away with murder. Now here you are on a cover of a newspaper acting like you're, you know, what's his name? Pope John Francis II. Man, get up, man. Hold.
No, you know, and look, I hate to stick on this referee topic. And as you know, it's something that we really don't, we kind of leave that for other shows to discuss. But it, you know, the biggest thing that I wanted to bring up is how hypocritical some of these people have been with the way the league has gone this season, and to turn that and think and say that Benfica is being helped throughout when they really can't just take a step back and give credit to Benfica for what they've done, being 7 points down and being able to beat Porto twice, go to Alvalade and beat Sporting, go to Braga, beat Braga, regardless, whatever. But, you know, here we are now. But it's always something. It's always something with the Antis and with the Dragartos. You know how it is. But let's just want to wrap up this game real quick. So 2-1 into the halftime, come out of the second half. Braga gets on this. Rio Ave gets one back in the 50th minute. PT puts us up by two with the scoring Benfica's third goal, making the score 3-1 in the 56th minute. And then we struggled a little bit to keep Rio Ave out of this game. There was a couple chances that we had that we could have put the game away. And I think that was perhaps the most nerving thing was to see Benfica being able to put games away with chances out. And Real Madrid, Seferovic had chances to put the game away, and they missed those goals. And you could see that Rio Ave was still around, and they were going to continue to be around.
Yeah, of course. And it definitely was not a comfortable way to finish off the game. Like you said, Seferovic had his typical one big miss of the game that could have put some more ease and comfort to finish off the game. But you got to give credit to Rio Ave. They didn't stop playing their game. And I think at the end of the second half, and even at the beginning of the second half, Benfica kind of took their their foot off the pedal there and let the Rio Ave play their own style of game, and they capitalized with two goals. And if you look at it, all three of Benfica's goals come from defensive mistakes. The first one's either a bounce off a defender, Rafa puts it in the net. Second goal, we've discussed, it's the non-call that turns into a breakaway. Goaltender gives up a rebound, João Felix buries it in. Now the third goal, Grimaldo runs it in, bounces off another defender, and then PT, you can say that he picks that bottom corner, but the defender also didn't clear it properly there either. So you can look at it that Benfica capitalized on defensive mistakes, but for the most part, Rio Ave really contained as well, and they also had their chances that they were able to convert on as well.
Yeah, and look, it's kind of I find this super interesting, right? Because it seems that when teams don't have much to play for, that they've even secured secured the promotion or secured a stable place in the table, it kind of almost seems that you see natural things come from these teams, more attractive football. And this is Rio Ave right now is playing attractive football, something that we haven't seen in a while. I know that they changed coaches and maybe that could be due to that. And their coach was saying in the post-conference that he wishes he had a few more games left in the season. But I mean, you see other games throughout this jornada and you see teams playing open football, attractive football with high score lines. And look, I hate to see teams playing so defensively that it's bad for the spectacle of the sport or for the attendance. But, it is what it is. But, tough game for Benfica. And we were able to lock up the 3 points. And I know that we're that close. We're not celebrating, as Cristiano mentioned. But yeah, this was the one game, and traveling up north is never an easy task. But this is the one game that we got back in there, and we got the 3 points, and especially with Porto playing before us
and having beaten us, 4-0.
So yeah,
pressure was on Benfica. I mean, I don't know how much pressure was on Benfica, but there was pressure on Benfica because you always knew in the back of your pocket, you could get away with a draw and then come home and try to get the 3 points, and you expect nothing but the 3 points at home from Benfica Santa Clara. So I think that eased the players a little bit, but it was nothing like getting a very important win on the road in a very tough place to play in the game, in a place that our direct rival just dropped points a week earlier. So I think it's very important for Benfica. Was it a week earlier or 2 weeks earlier? Might have been 2 weeks.
Two or 3 weeks.
I think it was two weeks early, right? Yeah, it was 2 weeks early.
The Porto tied?
Yeah, it was last Friday. Yeah, it was Friday. So it was a week earlier. A week earlier.
No, a couple weeks. They had one game after that. They had okay, so it was 2 weeks prior. Tondela.
Exactly. So it was 2 weeks prior. But no, Sporting was Tondela.
No, they had who cares? Was the Feirense? Something like that. Obviously, that's right. Yeah.
So it was 2 weeks early. So a very important win for Benfica at the end of the day. So I think right now Benfica comes home and they have to concentrate and clear out all the noise, because nothing is guaranteed, because, there's a reason why the games have to be played. But I'm very, very confident that Benfica will be able to put a wrap on this come Saturday. And hopefully Saturday afternoon we'll all be celebrating for Número 37 and then start singing the new song, Damo 38.
Yeah, no, it's time for a new version.
Yes, sir.
So, Dave, you got an interesting stats here about both the PT and the amount of goals that Benfica has allowed this season. You want to talk through that?
Yeah, so like we mentioned, PT got on the scoreboard with the third goal. So it was his 13th goal of the season. And between goals and assists, he's been involved in 32 of Benfica's 99 league goals scored this season. So about 32%. About a third of the goals scored or he's been involved in this season. And but on the flip side of that, on the flip side of scoring 99 goals, this team's also conceded 30 goals this season. And that's the first time since 2010-2011 that Benfica has conceded 30 goals in the Portuguese Campeonato. So That's one thing looking not to get too far ahead of ourselves with this season, but I hope that's something that Benfica looks to sort out this summer with their defensive capabilities, because conceding 30 goals is too many goals for me, in my opinion.
I saw a stat that Benfica was a totally different team without Gabriel in the game. In the last 9 games, they allow like crazy number of goals. Then when they allow like 1 point something goals or 2 point, whatever, 1 point, almost 2 goals per game, as opposed to when he was at, which was like 0.5 goals per game. It makes a huge difference in the midfield. But then again, I think this team down the stretch, the nerves kicked in. Teams also had higher motivation to play against Benfica. So things did change, but I do think Gabriel in there would have made things even easier. I mean, he's an exceptional player. He's another guy just like Samaris, who was many people's player of the match on Saturday. Again, on Sunday, I don't think there was one Benfica player that had like a stellar game. I thought it was a bunch of average performance. Team effort, yeah, it was nothing like where someone stood out, but a lot of people did say that somebody was a man of the match. And that's another guy going back to Gabriel, another guy that did not suit the previous coach. For some reason, he didn't appreciate their play, and both of those guys became key parts of the team once Bruno Lage took over. And Samaris, a guy that was on his way out. I mean, a lot of people, including myself, wouldn't have batted an eye had he left Benfica. And now you see he's become a huge, huge part of this team. Obviously, he renews today for another 4 years. I'm a little bit worried about that 4 years. I would have been cool with 2 years with a third for a team option. 4 years, he's 34 by the time, because he's about to be 30 next month, yeah. I believe. So he'll be 34 by then. So I'm not too crazy about their fourth year, but Benfica had to do what they had to do to keep this guy, because he's become such a huge part of this team. And he's a big reason why Benfica was able to overturn the 7 points, because the guy's been absolutely stellar playing on the Bruno Lage. It's just sad that our boy Gabriel got injured in the Taça Portugal game against Sporting, hasn't been able to participate. But those two together should be a lot of fun coming into next season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad that you brought up Samaris, which is a great segue to another topic that I wanted to talk about, Samaris' renewal. So this obviously, if you've been following Benfica, which I know you have, that there's this movement about renewing Samaris. So ever since Samaris was brought into the lineup and he's finally started getting that game rhythm, there was the hashtag Renova Samaris or some whatever it was, started popping up. And, you know, I think that there's very little foreigners currently at Benfica that feel Benfica or the club like Samaris does, right? So I think that we've often said that. And I think that it's apparent to everyone that follows Benfica, that hears Samaris speak, that hears Samaris' behavior on the field, the his embodiment of the club's culture. I think that nobody really denies that this guy's, if he wasn't a Benfiquista before, he's a Benfiquista now, obviously adopted club, obviously. And he wanted to stay in Portugal. He had made that wish well known that he wanted to stay in Portugal. At one point, there was rumors that he may end up at Porto, and I don't know how much of that was agent talk or negotiating tactics. But the truth of the matter is that he signed today until 2023, sorry. His clause stays at 45 million. And he's a guy that has really come to life with this Rui Vitória with Bruno Lage. And I'm thinking of Rui Vitória because I'm looking at the stats and I wanted to bring him up. So we arrived in the 14-15 season that was under Jorge Jesus. At that time, during that season, he played 28 Liga NOS games, 27 as a starter, one as a substitute. In 15-16, which is Rui Vitória's first year, he played in 27 Liga NOS games, 19 of them as a starter, 8 as coming off the bench. 16-17, 18 Liga NOS games, 9 as a starter, 9 coming off the bench. 17-18, 18 Liga NOS games, again, that he participated in, 4 as a starter, 14 off the bench, and 18-19, again, we see his resurgence. 18 games for the Liga NOS, 16 games as a starter, 2 games as a used substitute. So we see here that this is a guy that spent 3.5 years basically under Rui Vitória, And so is playing time diminished, right? He was getting playing time in the Tasa, but not in the important game. So he's a guy, and at the end of the game, you can't help but notice the emotion that he has in his voice, in his flash interview after this Riwav game, right before, I guess, he knew he was going to renew. But there has to be somewhat of a personal victory for him to be able to go through what he went through, Rui Vitória, from being a featured important player under JJ, going to Rui Vitória, seeing his playing time diminish, still putting out the work that he put out every single day. He went to the Seychelles and he worked hard, and nobody can deny that. And now finally seeing that hard work being rewarded, it's a triumph, right? It's a triumph for him, and you can't help but to feel good about this story.
Julio Cesar, the former Benfica goalkeeper, tweeted that same sentiment earlier today, that he couldn't have been happier for Samaris, because he knows how much the guy suffered through these last couple of years, how much this, you know, Benfica meant to him and how much this renewal meant to him. You could definitely tell his teammates appreciated him. His teammates are excited for him. He's a team first guy. And he's a, you know, good representative of Benfica. A guy's been a total pro since day one. He's never given up, even when things got tough. And so, look, I'm glad to see someone like that get rewarded. But we've seen with Bruno Lage, since he's taken over here for Rui Vitória, that if you put in the effort and you do everything that's asked of you, and you're a professional, you come in and you work, he's going to give you a chance. I mean, going back to Tarap, going back to this guy that no one believed in no more. Same thing with Gabriel. Let's not forget, Gabriel was kind of pushed aside. He wasn't a key part. I mean, Rui Vitória wasn't a big fan. So there's a lot of guys on this team that have a lot, you know, that owe a lot of their success so far early on to Bruno Lage. And I think, you know, this guy is an absolute team player, and he deserves everything he's getting from Benfica. And again, I just, that 4 years a little bit too long, but
yeah,
we'll talk about that in a couple of years.
Let me and look, maybe the 4 years is a measure so you don't have to pay him that high of a salary. Instead, they spread it out through 4 years instead of 3 years. I don't know. There's all these mechanisms, financial mechanisms that they put in play, you know, signing bonus, so on and so forth. The guy eventually ends up getting close to what he wanted. But you know, let me ask you this real quick, Cristiano. Do you think that Samaris is a natural substitute of Luizão as far as the locker room presence?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I mean, Hugo, our good friend Hugo Ferreira, said to me earlier today that, you know, he hopes that he's the next captain of Benfica, and, you know, if Jardel is not around. And I said, look, the only other guy on the team that I could see being Benfica captain if he's not around, but unfortunately I do see him leaving this summer, and that's Ruben Dias. If Ruben Dias is there, I think he should get the Brasileira, right?
Yeah.
I think he should get the captain's armband. But if he's not there, I have no problem with Samaris being captain. I mean, this guy shows all the leadership skills. I don't know if you recall, Alfredo, I mean, we might have to replay some of our podcasts from earlier on, the beginning of the season, but I told you after I toured with Benfica and I came back, and I don't know if you remember, but I told you that this guy plays a huge part inside the locker room, that the Benfica players all look to him, and they all, I mean, I told you, that was the guy that I felt was the most liked by his teammates in the club after spending that time with them. And so, I mean, you see that now, the team and his teammates, they relate to him. They back this guy up, and they see that furor, they see that love that he has for Benfica, which is crazy, man. I mean, this is not even a Portuguese guy, and he represents Benfica. He loves being a Benfica player. You've seen it this weekend with the little shenanigans going back and forth between him and Fabio Coentrão, pointing at the crest, I'm Benfica, passada aqui, sai daqui, tu não tens nada a ver comigo. I mean, it's a beautiful sight to see. I mean, he's been absolutely phenomenal. He's been everything that you could expect and more. And so I'd have absolutely no problem with him being a team captain.
Yeah.
As long as, I mean, look, Almeida, also another guy that renewed yesterday, so he'll be around for.
No, I don't know if that's official yet.
Okay. But the word, okay.
The word is that
he's going to. So, I mean, he's probably going to be the team captain. If Ruben Dias sticks around, I think he should get the Brasileiro. But, I mean, just look, it's good to have a bunch of leaders, a bunch of guys that know what it is to be a Benfiquista and to have the right attitude.
Yeah.
And they can mentor youngsters and push youngsters to want to get to their level. And so, I mean, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah. And I think that the Brasileira is something that's a visual thing for Pozévir, right? But I think that the leaders in the locker room don't need a brasileira. Everybody knows who they are, the role models, the leaders, the guy that leads by example. And I think that Samaris is one of those guys. So I don't think that, regardless of whether he gets the brasileira or not, because I think that, you know, if Jardel has been the captain all this time and André Almeida is the sub-captain, I think it will remain like that until those guys go out. But everybody knows that Samaris is as good as a captain in a locker room.
Yeah, but it's come on, Alfred. I'm surprised you're saying that, man. Look, it's a source of pride. You're the face
without
a
doubt.
You're the face of the team. You represent the team in the galas and all this BS. You're the guy that everyone looks. Yes, you could be I mean, there's many ways of being a leader in the locker room. All right, there's silent leaders. There's leaders that do by example. There's many forms of being a leader. Right. But I think when you have an opportunity to wear the armband, and we're talking about a club like Benfica, of any club, to be honest with you, but more so when it's a Benfica, you know, a giant of European football, and you have the opportunity to be the voice, to be the face of that organization, I mean, it's a tremendous sense of pride, and it's something that I think a lot of people might play it off like you just did, nonchalantly, like, oh yeah, you know, it's okay. I'll be a leader in my own little way. Yeah, I know. It, you know, that brasileira, forget it. I mean, that's a huge motivation, and it's a huge honor for any player to wear. Just ask Luizão. I mean, yeah. just see how much it meant to him, and now you get a guy like, you know, Samaris who wears his emotions on his sleeve. I mean, you put that brasileira on this guy is going to be running through walls. I mean, he does it now. Just imagine with the brasileira.
No, I get that. I get that that's the public figure, the face of the team. But I think that within the locker room, I think that there's a lot of respect for Samaris, and I don't think anybody could dispute that. And especially for what he's gone on, I think that he will be one of the leaders of this locker room. So the intent to renew him, is a step towards that, is a step to keeping the harmony and the chemistry in the locker room. Dave, how do you feel about somebody's renewal?
Yeah, it's long overdue, especially how we've seen his play increase, his time increase, and how much of an important role he's been playing under Bruno Lage. I'm not too concerned about that fourth year because, if anything, it protects the club. So we don't have to go through this again in 3 years if he's having another good season and he decides to walk out and we get nothing for him. So I think the fourth year might protect the club. And if we decide to sell him in the future, we can recoup some money back. So I'm not too concerned about that fourth year, but overall, happy that he's renewed. And now it's time to renew Rafa and get him on a new deal.
Yeah, but Rafa still has some time.
Didn't Rafa resign? Didn't he resign as well?
No.
Or that's all BS?
No, he's got time on his contract. This contract is not up. But yeah, there's talks that he's going to.
And Dave, I love you, bro, but you're not selling. You're not making any money off somebody. He's 30 years old.
No,
you're not selling him, bro.
Unless he goes back. Unless it's Galatasaray money or something like that.
He's going to stay till he retires or Benfica. He's going to come to the day Benfica don't want him. And he says, look, I'll rescind and you don't have to pay me and I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah. Unless they send him back to Turkey. But I think if they send him back to Turkey, they won't be making any money. It's just as a courtesy to finish his career. But I think that he might finish his career at Benfica, to be honest with you. But we'll see. Anyway, up next, last game of the season, Santa Clara at Stadio Luz, 6:30 local on Saturday. So this Saturday. Dave, what's Santa Clara up to this year?
Currently, they're having a career year this season. They're sitting in eighth place with 42 points, tied on points with Rio Ave, actually, with 11 wins, 9 draws, 13 losses. So this has been their best ever performance in the Campeonato in their club history. They've secured a promotion, or not promotion, but they're staying up again this season. Overall, Benfica's beaten Santa Clara 7 out of the 8 times that they've played against each other. They're Santa Clara's last 5 games, 1 win, 3 draws, 1 losses. So not the most in-form team, but we take care of business at home and we'll be crown champions.
Yeah, you know what? I was looking at something. Santa Clara actually has the third best defense away from Azores Island, where they play. Porto has only allowed 11. Benfica has allowed 14 goals. Santa Clara has allowed 15 goals away from their home turf. So quite an impressive stat there for Santa Clara. But look, Santa Clara doesn't have anything to play for. As you mentioned, their place on the table is pretty secure. I don't know what kind of approach they're going to have to this game. They're definitely probably not going to come and park the bus. And for those of you that are familiar with Santa Clara, you know that Santa Clara is very deep ties to Benfica. Their crest is very similar to Benfica's. There's quite a few. I think there's a couple players that have been loaned out to Santa Clara, if I'm not mistaken.
Cardozo, who's not on loan, but he was developed.
Yeah, he was. But you know, Cardozo has gotten to Santa Clara via many other channels. He was in Scotland. Rangers. He came from Scotland at one point. Yeah. So last season he came. But look, there's definitely some deep ties. I don't think that Santa Clara is going to lay down, but I don't think that Santa Clara is going to be closed out 11 guys behind the ball. And I also don't think that Santa Clara is going to come in and just open their legs for Benfica. I think they're going to play an eye-to-eye game with Benfica. And I think that a lot of these guys are probably going to enjoy the atmosphere of the stadium.
To me, I don't give a crap who Benfica plays this Saturday. This takes me back to a couple of seasons ago against Vitória Guimarães. Benfica spanked them 5-0. Benfica could have played Porto or Sporting this weekend at this jam-packed Estádio da Luz with the Campeonato on the line and the fans as excited. It's going to be a madhouse at the Estádio da Luz on Saturday. So I think Benfica players are going to be riding on a very high cloud, very, very high cloud.
Yeah.
And they're going to spank the crap out of Santa Clara. It's going to be a magnificent, magnificent afternoon. Now, look, they still got to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I think that's going to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. I'm hoping it does. But, you know, it's very reminiscent of that one game against Guimarães, which was supposed to be a very tough game. And Benfica just steamrolled them right first minute. I mean, the game was over within 10, 15 minutes. And I think it's going to be the same thing here this Saturday at the Estádio da Luz.
Yeah. Vai ser festa.
Festa, logo do princípio. Pá.
Yep.
No Mega Bar. Começa no Mega Bar e acaba depois no Marquês.
Yeah, we hope that that Benfica does their job, obviously. But like I said, I don't think this is a Santa Clara team that's coming to just be part of the festa. I think that they're going to play their style, but they're not going. They're just going to be relaxed. They really got nothing to play for. They're just going to come out and play, and whatever it is, it is. But I think that Benfica has the obligation, and also with the buzz that's being created about the sellout, the people that are going to be in the stadium, something similar to Guimarães' game a few years back, as Cristiano mentioned. I think that Benfica has a very, very good chance to win that 37th. Dave, what do you think, Dave?
On the scoreline, I think, yeah, it's going to be a blow just because, like we've talked about, we had a much difficult opponent in Guimarães when we were at the same stage a couple of years ago, and we blew them out of the water 5-0. So I hope the crowd is a positive for the players and they don't come in feeling the pressure and underperform, but I'm not expecting that with this team. I'm hoping they score lots of goals, get over the 100-goal mark for the season. But I'm going to be also selfish, and I hope that they pick up a clean sheet because I don't want to concede another goal. 30 is already way too much goals to be conceding for this team. So score lots of goals, concede none, and party all night long.
Party all night long. And it's Saturday night, so you'll have Sunday to recuperate. So here's to hoping everything that goes well, and we hope that we're here next week celebrating. So we don't have much else. I got one last note. Benfica's women's team plays the Taça de Portugal a few hours before the Benfica game. I think it's two or three hours before the Benfica game, if I'm not mistaken, at the Jamor. Cristiano, here's a trivia question for you. Do you know how many goals Benfica's women's team has scored in across all competitions this season?
How many games? How many games? You gotta give me total. You gotta give me a count.
I gotta think of it. Dave, look that up so I don't give it up.
I'm trying to find
it. Go on to 00 competições feminino.
And I'm not looking at anything, as you can see. I'm
okay,
right,
vai lá. Fecha os olhos, então.
So, fecha os olhos.
Benfica's
women's team.
Fecha os olhos e abre o cu.
How many teams are in the first division? I don't know, nothing. How many teams are in first division?
Well, Benfica's
they're not even in the first division.
Division, whatever it's called. You know what I mean. In the league they play in, guys. Come on, make it easy.
Peraí, que a gente vai já ver.
Tem os olhos tapados.
Futebol, fecha os olhos.
Tá, olha aqui, os olhos tapados. Playing peekaboo, bro.
Ok. Senhores.
Senhores, vai falar aí.
Feminino. Segunda fase.
Somebody
series.
Should be playing the clown music right now in the background. Hopefully. That's Jeopardy, bro. That's not clown music.
Oh.
Hey,
what's
is that
the
Jeopardy?
Clown music?
I don't even know if that's Jeopardy.
Cristiano, they have played 30 games.
So 30 games.
This season.
And that's including Taça.
That's everything. That's everything.
So Benfica scored 173 goals.
Not even close, brother.
More?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, could I uncover my eyes now? Because I'm hurting myself. So more than 173, because they scored 28 in one game.
Yep.
So that's why I was going 173. So damn, that's all right. So 338.
No.
More? For no, these get mine. We're about to sign their striker, bro, for next season.
Dave, you see it?
No. I'll what do you say?
I can't see shit right now because I'm just laughing, bro.
It's more
350?
More than 350.
More? Hey, pa. And here we are struggling for goals at certain points of the season. No wonder they let go of Ferreira and Castillo. They knew what they had over there.
Can we sub in for Seferovic?
Hey, no, 432.
Too many.
Oh, up, I didn't just give it. So it's between 350 and 470 and 32. So 403.
You were close. 402.
Ah, so I was close. All right.
402 goals. That's how many goals the women's team...
With one more game to go, though.
More game to go.
Se os homens jogam contra mancos, as mulheres jogam contra mancas. 400 goals. Hey.
402 goals, and they've only conceded 6 goals.
And here we are celebrating Benfica at 99 goals. They quadrupled Benfica's output.
They have only allowed one goal for the Portuguese championship. They've allowed 5 goals in the Taça. In the Taça competition. 402 goals scored, 6 goals allowed. 29 wins, 1 draw. And that 1 draw came in the Taça game. And I guess they ended up winning, obviously, penalties. And I think that was either against Braga or Sporting, if I'm not mistaken. I think Braga. But anyway, I'll leave you with that. So another reason to cheer. So we might have double winners on Saturday night. So that's all we got for this week. Dave, any parting thoughts?
No, everybody enjoy the game on Saturday, wherever you're watching it, party responsibly, but Força Benfica, and I hope we're here next week having a good celebration.
Yeah,
because it's been such a wild ride this season with such highs and such lows, but
yep.
And see the light.
And Jafurst, for the love of the Lord, man, if you're celebrating and you're videoing yourself, please cover that ass crack, man. Nobody wants to see that ass crack as you're celebrating that that rim rounder by Toronto. Jesus, man. Get a hold of yourself. Anyway, you could follow Dave on Twitter at 87DO87, Cristiano at 10CO10. At Benfica Podcast is where we can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. BenficaPodcast.com is where all our episodes are posted. Also on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and all that good stuff. I believe we're on Spotify also. Next week, we'll be back. Hopefully, it will be a cheery one. We'll recap we'll recap the game against Santa Clara. We'll talk about the end of the season. And then we will have one more episode after that where we'll do the season recap with our awards of the season, as you're familiar and accustomed to hearing. And that's it. Thanks a lot for checking us out. We'll be back next week, Tuesday. As always, my name is Alfredo. Cristiano and Dave have been here with me. Episode number 324. See you, everybody.